Okay, I have to admit something. We keep using parameters like everybody already has the same picture in their head, and that's probably not true.
Yeah, no, that's fair. We've been skating past it because once you live in the weeds, the word starts feeling obvious, and then it's suddenly doing all the work.
And I got a listener question about it that was basically, what are these numbers actually? Which is annoyingly good. It's the right question.
It is. And this is one of those cases where the simple version is also the real version. A parameter is just a learned number inside the model. That's the whole trick.
So the network is basically a pile of knobs.
Exactly. And if you want the slightly less cartoon version, we did a whole episode on neural networks, episode 633. But the quick gloss is, a neural network is a chain of math operations. Numbers go in, get multiplied and shifted, and pass through nonlinear functions, and numbers come out.
Right. And we did the deep learning one too, episode 692. That one was all about stack layers learning patterns from raw data. Here, we're just zooming in on the actual numbers that make that possible.
Mm-hmm. Parameters are the numbers doing the multiplying and adding in those layers. They're the parts training is allowed to change.
So when people say a model has like billions of parameters, they mean billions of those learned numbers?
Yep. Not billions of little brains. Billions of adjustable values. Some are weights, some are biases, and both count as parameters.
Okay, wait. Weights versus biases. Sounds like one of those terms.
Fair. A weight is a multiplier. It says how strongly one signal should count. A bias is an offset, a baseline shift added after the multiplication. If weights are the sensitivity dial, biases are the how far off center am I starting dial.
That's actually clean. So if an input is loud, a weight can make that loudness matter more or less, and the bias can move the whole result up or down.
Exactly. And the model learns both of those through training. The network is not handwritten with rules like if whiskers then cat. It gets shown examples, makes a guess, sees how wrong it was, and then adjusts those knobs a tiny bit.
Which is where the magic-looking part happens, because those tiny shifts add up to something useful.
Right, but it's not magic. It's just a lot of bookkeeping. The parameters start out random or near random, which is why an untrained model is basically useless. Then training keeps nudging them.
And this is where I start hearing the word backpropagation, and people suddenly talk faster.
Yeah, that's because they're being rude. Backpropagation is just the method for figuring out which parameters contributed how much to the error. It runs the mistake backward through the network and assigns blame in a mathematical way.
So it's a blame spreadsheet.
Pretty much. Then gradient descent uses that blame to move each parameter in the direction that reduces error. Gradient just means the slope, the direction of steepest change. Descent means we step downhill on the error surface.
Okay, but why doesn't the whole thing just thrash around? If you've got millions...
Because the steps are tiny. That's the important part. You don't yank the whole network around. You make a small correction, see what changed, make another one, repeat. Over many passes through data, the parameters drift into a configuration that works better and better.
So the final train model is basically the frozen position of all those knobs after all the nudging.
Yes. Frozen is the right word. After training, you usually stop changing them and save that state. The saved file is basically the model's learned parameter set, plus some metadata.
That's such a weirdly unglamorous answer for something people talk about, like, it's a personality.
I know, it's deeply funny. A lot of the mystique comes from the fact that the final pattern is distributed across a ridiculous number of numbers, so no single one looks meaningful on its own.
Right, that's the part I wanted to get to. Because a listener might think one parameter equals one feature, like one knob for whiskers, one knob for ears, one knob for catness.
And that's the wrong mental model. In a deep network, meaning is collective. A single weight usually does not map cleanly to a human concept. The behavior comes from how millions of parameters interact.
That's the black box feeling, then. Not because there's literally nothing in there, but because the stuff that matters is smeared across the whole system.
Exactly. You can inspect parts of it, but the interpretation is rarely local. The model has learned a pattern in the arrangement of its parameters, not a neat little dictionary of concepts.
So if I'm picturing it as a giant mixer board, that's closer than picturing little labeled feature boxes.
Yeah. Though mixer board is maybe too neat, it's more like a giant control room where every slider affects a bunch of other sliders, and you only...
That is such an exploring next take. Slightly cursed. But useful.
I'll take it.
Can we slow down on the size thing for a second? Because billions of parameters sounds like a brag until you ask what that actually buys you.
Yeah, and this matters. Modern networks can have millions, billions, or even hundreds of billions of parameters. That scale gives them room to represent very complicated patterns, but it also means training is expensive. More parameters usually means more data, more compute, and more chances to overfit if you're sloppy.
Overfit, meaning it starts memorizing the training set instead of learning the general thing.
Right. Too many parameters relative to the data and the model can latch onto noise. Too few and it can't capture the real structure at all. That balance is one of the core design problems.
So the number itself isn't good or bad. It's whether the parameter budget matches the job.
Exactly. And that's why product people care about parameter count even when they pretend not to. It affects cost, latency, memory, and how hard the model is to train and deploy.
Okay, that's the practical side I care about. Because if a model needs a truckload of GPU time just to become decent, the market is going to ask some rude question.
And it should, that like a lot of the interesting engineering work is about making those parameters count more efficiently, not just making the number bigger.
Wait, so when a model is pre-trained, those parameters are already locked in from a giant training run. Then what does fine-tuning do?
It takes a trained parameter set and nudges it again on a smaller, more specific data set. Same knobs, different destination. Fine-tuning is how you adapt a general model.
So the big model is like a general-purpose tool, and fine-tuning is the part where you turn it into something actually useful for one team or one workflow.
Yes, with one caveat. Sometimes people say fine-tuning when they really mean any kind of adaptation, and that gets sloppy fast. But the core idea is still parameter adjustment after pre-training.
I like that this all comes back to the same physical image. The model is not storing facts in a little filing cabinet. It's storing them in where the knobs ended up.
That's the cleanest way to say it. The learned behavior lives in the parameter values. Not in one knob, not in a sentence, but in the whole configuration. Bless.
All right, Ava. We finally did the boring word justice. I'm calling that a win.